From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to the show. A really fun first hour. Lots of really hard-hitting news. Lots of cicada talk. If you guys want to listen to that, I suggest downloading the podcast, Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim. You can get it on Spotify, Apple Podcast, anywhere you get the best podcast in the world. It's also available, and it's free. So really no harm, no foul. Just check it out. All right, we have a lot of fun to talk about this hour. It's the News Roundup. I have Lisa Brooks here. Lisa, Yay. Welcome.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. I know. Lisa, can I ask you a question? This was a topic we discussed a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
I have since been, I wouldn't say I've been put in my place since, but I did get some more information on this topic, something I didn't really know much about. And normally when I come in here, I know everything about everything, obviously.
Because you're just that smart.
Because I do my homework.
Okay.
I did not do my homework on this. And I'm being a little facetious. I don't know everything about everything. But, so this topic is a little bit TMI, but my wife is going to have our fourth baby in just about 2 months.
Wow. Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's coming up quickly. I didn't think she was that far along.
What a blessing. Yeah. Yes. She's like, she's ready to pop. She's ready to go.
Another boy.
Another boy. Yes. Yes. It's going to be another boy. So, you know, this was kind of our, we wanted four kids. And so we have now reached that number and we have decided to stop having children in the future. Mm-hmm. And so there's medical things that you can do. As you are probably aware, mm-hmm. you can get certain procedures done. So one of those procedures that men can have done is, you know, like snip snip.
A vasectomy.
That's right. That's the technical term. So you can get a vasectomy. Or as I just found, I didn't even know about this until literally last night, I'm sitting on the couch with my wife. I don't know what we were talking about. I was talking about baby stuff. That's what we were talking about. So we were talking about birth plan and all these different things. Because she had a C-section with our first kid, it was like an emergency C-section, just had some complications. There is a possibility with future kids that you may have to have another C-section.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Yeah, so like the second and third kid, we didn't have to, but the fourth kid, we're just preparing just in case. And she was saying, you know, if that happens, not to say that it will, but if it did happen, then when she is on the operating table, because it's an operation, they can actually do stuff with the tubes, and they can take care of that on her end, so that I wouldn't have to be snipped, right? Which sounds like, I don't know, sounds kind of great to me. I have since found out, a lot of people said it's like quite a bit more involved mm-hmm. than that. It's like kind of major surgery, they say, and all these different things. But my question was, so I asked my wife, I said, oh, well, this is great. What if I guess I don't have to get snipped, a vasectomy anymore. Like I was nervous about it. And she goes, no, I don't think I'm going to have the tubes tied. I think you should still get a vasectomy. And I'm just like, well, wait a minute. If you're already there on a surgery table and they have the ability to like do whatever they do, then, I mean, aren't we being a little selfish by saying that I should then go in and have a vasectomy? And she said, well, no, I think it would be good. She goes, you haven't really had to sacrifice anything to have these kids. And I was like, well, yeah, she's got a point. Like, you know,
yeah.
Her body has changed four times every time she has a kid. And then she's got to like, you know, work it off and do all this stuff. And she's also carrying on a baby for 9 months. But I also was like, you know, like it's not my fault that that my side is pretty, I wouldn't say quick, but you know what I mean? Like it's like my part of the work is not quite as involved as 9 months.
Did you go there? Did you say that last night?
Well, yeah, of course.
Oh my.
Yeah, I'm totally open. My wife and I talk about this stuff. Kind of. Okay. She's fine. She knows I mean well. And she loves me. And so she's like, no, I think you're going to get a vasectomy. And I'm like, I don't know. I just like, I don't think we should end the conversation here. I think maybe you should consider my feelings. Because, you know, like it's unnecessary surgery for me. I'm not going to be in the hospital. I mean, I hope, fingers crossed, I'm not going to be there getting a vasectomy. If I don't need to, I wouldn't be in the under the knife. If she's already, then wouldn't it be... I mean, wouldn't it be selfish of her not to do it?
No.
No?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
So you think I should have the vasectomy?
I'm going to say this is a really personal decision between the two of you guys.
Personal between us and also because...
But saying she's selfish and saying that would be selfish
No, Lisa, you're putting words in my mouth. I said, isn't it selfish? I didn't say she was selfish. I said, isn't it selfish?
So you're asking me if it's selfish. It is not selfish of her not to do it.
You don't think so?
Absolutely not.
So on the flip side, is it very gallant of me to go and get snipped?
I don't know if that's the right answer. I think if you guys have really made this decision, there are many ways
not. Sounds like she's making the decision.
There are many ways not to have children. If the surgical answer for one of you is the best way not to have children, then that's going to have to be something you work out. But I would say you should do it.
What do you think, Matt? Do you think she's being selfish?
I think you should just man up and get the vasectomy.
Just get the vasectomy.
Just go for it.
Just
you're the father of four boys. Show some courage, man.
This, well, yeah, I guess it does set a good example for my sons.
There you go.
I guess. But it's not like I'm going to explain this to them anytime in the next 15, 16 years. It's not until they're probably in their teens that I say, hey, you're old man, guess what he did.
But think of it. When that day comes and they ask, you can be the hero of this story.
Yeah, I can be like, guess what I did?
Yeah.
I went in and under the knife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Invest in a bunch of frozen peas and you know, bags of ice and before you go
I don't
in.
Know.
You'll
I don't know.
Fine. You'll be fine.
I'm still feeling like maybe, I don't know. I feel like I've already done a lot for these kids.
And you will continue to do more.
And
no
I
one
will
said
continue
you
to do more, and it makes me very nervous.
Of course it does.
It makes me nervous.
Are you nervous because you don't want to have someone touching you in that way?
No.
Or are you worried because you think you might want to have another child?
No, neither of those. Neither of those.
Then what are you nervous about?
You saw the guy there was an earthquake when he had a vasectomy. You saw that last week?
No, I didn't see that.
He was in New York. He was on the table. Yep, it happened.
Oh.
They had a 4.8 earthquake.
Okay.
And nobody got hurt. And now he can't have kids.
But he was there to not have kids,
That's
right?
Beside the point.
Oh, man. Oh, Jake.
All right. It's ridiculous. All right. Let's get to, thank you guys for the text. People have really told me, they're like, listen, Tubes Tied is a whole different level.
Yeah.
It's like 10 times more involved. There's all these different things. Basically, mine would just be, you know, a quick little cut, a little snip here and there, and then I just sit around and watch TV all weekend.
And sit on frozen peas and bags of ice. And
frozen peas, bags of ice. Yeah, I guess so. All right, really quick, I'm going to play you a trivia clip, and then you can try to guess it along with our audience and see if you get this answer. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. This is not a vasectomy, by the way. I'm not playing a vasectomy clip, although it does sound like one.
Ready?
Yep.
One, two.
No, Kelly Clarkson! Como se llama? Ha! Wow! I hate you! I hate you! Stop smiling, you jerk!
Do you have any guesses?
Is that, it's Steve Carell.
Yes.
40-year-old virgin?
Bingo.
Okay.
Nailed it. Yeah. That movie still holds up. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I can see it in my mind, in my mind's eye. I guess just memory would be a better way to say that. I think it still holds up. I think it's still it's a hilarious premise.
Yeah.
It's a very, very funny premise. What I think is the best part of that entire movie is not even in the movie. It is just the poster. Have you ever seen the poster for 40-year-old virgin?
With the smile.
It's just Steve Carell. Standing there, and he's kind of like looking up. If anybody's watching the streaming camera right now, it's just this innocent, childlike look on his 40, like clearly 40-something face. And, you know, he hasn't been, so that's the look on his face. It's pretty funny. All right, let's get to, Matt, you got that right away, right? You knew
I knew which one it was.
Yeah, it's a good one. All right, Seattle's Morning News, they were talking about food prices. Let's talk about that.
What do you do? I mean, the whole idea of supply and demand is that if you boycott the stuff that's too expensive, prices have to drop. Or at least you can find a place that is actually sells it for less. You can bring prices down just by changing where you shop.
Well, that could happen in some cases. I don't think that's going to be a big deal at this thing because we're not organized in doing that. Clearly, the government says that grocery prices are on their way down. They went up 11.8% in 2022. They cooled to 1% last year. They're predicting 0.4% this year. So things are moving in the right direction. But remember, that's a slowdown in price increases. It's not the prices are returning back to their pre-pandemic levels. So hopefully things are going to stabilize. But yes, there are a bunch of things you can do. You can make sure you use coupons and belong to the loyalty program to get the better prices you can get. You can make sure, and what I do is that you're being charged the right price for items when you check out. I have been overcharged for at least one item the last 8 times I've gone shopping. These
really?
Are usually things on discount. Yes, if the computer did not give me the discount that I was entitled to, and did I raise bloody heck with the manager of the store?
Do you know another thing that happens with me? I'm going to pause this early. I sometimes, so we get all of our, it's just impossible to go into the grocery store with kids. So we go to the drive-up stuff. Do you guys ever do that where you just like drive up and they put stuff in your trunk?
Oh, you order online or something?
You just order online, yeah. And then like you just open your trunk, they'll just put it in there for you. A lot of times they will give you items that are not like the items that I wouldn't pick out in the store. Like if I'm going to get strawberries or something, I'm going to try to get stuff for the kids, yeah, healthy foods. Like I lift up, everybody who ever buys strawberries has the same thing. We all lift it up and we look at the bottom of the case because there's always rotten ones
moldy,
hanging down there.
Yeah.
They don't do that when you get the online stuff. Oftentimes they don't do that. Yeah. And so we'll get home, we'll be like, oh my gosh, like look at all this fruit that we just have to throw out, which you try, you can go online to their app and you can go and say like, okay, well this, and they're pretty good about crediting you for that amount, mm-hmm. but still it's a hassle because then you got to go back. Then you're like half your order's not there. Mm-hmm. So that can be a real hassle, but food saving stuff. Yeah. It's important, especially as things get more and more expensive and it just seems to keep going up and up.
It's so nice. Just, can I just say to hear Herb Weissbaum on the air? I'm a big Herb Weissbaum fan. I used to work with Herbivore, so I call him my Herbivore.
Is that his nickname?
Yeah, no, that's what I call him. That's my special name for him, Herbivore.
Like a dinosaur.
Or like a plant-eating dinosaur.
Yeah, plant-eating
dinosaur. His name is Herb Weissbaum.
Yeah, it's a herbivore, yeah.
He's been a consumer expert forever, and it's good to hear him on Cairo Radio.
Is he a vegetarian?
Not at all.
Oh,
no.
Okay. All right.
It's just my little name for him.
All right. Gian Ursula, is it against the law to drive with headphones? Good question. I'll get you guys answers in just a second.
This one's really weird because it is quite clear in Washington you cannot drive legally with headphones on. That's the law. Now, the same law that bans that or prohibits that also kind of exempts you using headphones when you're using your hands-free wireless in the car, because if you have an earpiece in to listen, say it's not through your dash, it's the gray area. And the state patrol hasn't gotten back to me with a really definitive answer on this. But the rule of thumb that I'm hearing from most people that I'm talking to in the enforcement community on this is headphones, no go. No way. Can't wear your headphones. Because the idea is it prevents you from hearing what's going on outside your car. You're less spatially aware because you can't hear things. One earbud? Maybe, but probably not two. But again, it's not spelled out specifically, and the rule is somewhat gray. But yeah, I see people wearing double earbuds all the time, and it's not safe. And according to the rule of the law, it's illegal.
We had an admission during our morning meeting that one of the three of us uses headphones.
Can you guess what? Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I wear a headphone every single day.
Just one?
Yeah, I only wear one headphone because my left ear, I have like maybe 20% of my hearing in. And I'd love for you to explain to me why this is dangerous. I can understand if you're cycling or walking, but you're in a car. No matter what headphones you're wearing, unless they're noise canceling, you have the volume all the way up, you can still hear traffic horns.
What do you think about that, Matt? Headphones, good, bad?
No. You need to have as much of as your attention as possible on driving.
Think so?
Period. Yeah.
Lisa, what do you think? Headphones?
Yeah, I think he's right. I don't think you should wear them at all. And I really worry about people who are walking down the street looking at their cell phones with headphones.
I think that's a bigger
problem. And they
problem.
Walk across the street with yeah. It's like, gosh,
that's
what's
a
going
bigger
on?
Problem. I think that's because when you're in the car, you're at least trained to be looking for
right.
people outside.
Yeah.
But people in the street, dum-dums.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but like a lot of them, dum-dums. And they walk down the road. I was driving away from the station the other night. Must have been, I don't know, 10:30 or something. And there was a person walking down the road, crossed the crosswalk right in front of me, just exactly like you described. She's looking at her phone. She's got headphones in. I don't know if she was talking to someone. She's just watching TikTok or something. Maybe there's a new TikTok craze where you just walk across streets.
It's been happening for years.
And she wasn't even caring. And I'm sitting there, and I had the right of way. And, I mean, pedestrians are supposed to wait for their crossing light, right? And she just starts walking. Couldn't have cared less. Didn't care. And thankfully, I was paying attention, and I was watching because I'm a very good driver. And I was like, my goodness, like this person could have gotten hit so easily. And I cannot imagine how much this is happening. It must be happening round the clock, all the time. As far as headphones go in the car while you're driving, I think I agree with Chef. I don't see the problem with them, because if you're in your car driving, you're listening to loud music anyway. It's just a different way to listen to loud music. You're still visually looking at things. But if my radio is cranked up, right, I'm listening to maybe a podcast from last night's show, which do I do that in my car? Sometimes. And I'm listening to myself, and I'm laughing at all the right spots, and I'm laughing at all the jokes because it's super, super funny and it's entertaining. And even though it's me, I feel like I'm still learning some new stuff. You know what I mean? And I'm picking up stuff that I didn't even get the first time. And I'm driving around. If there's a police officer behind me, I'm not hearing that because I'm listening to my loud stereo. My stereo doesn't know there's a cop behind me. It's not warning me. So why is it any different with headphones? I don't think it is.
I wonder, because it takes up your entire ear canal. It, you know, the sound
So does sound.
It's a little different. It's a little different.
It's concentrated.
Because there's sounds that are coming from around you, just like sounds, unless your stereo is like cranked all the way to 11. There's no way that you can't hear what's going on.
Oh, all right. Well, it's okay to disagree sometimes. I think we all disagree on this one. That's all right. Well, two against one. All right, Jack and Spike. Do we have time for one more real fast?
Let's do it.
Which one, Jack and Spike or John Sherry?
Jack and Spike.
Jack and Spike. This year's Mark Twain Prize for Humor was given to?
The Mark Twain Prize for Humor in America began in 1998. It's an award presented at the Kennedy Center every year, and they honor the greats of American comedy. And I saw this year's recipient, and I was I don't know if I agree with it. And we're talking about people like Carl Reiner, Richard Pryor, Jonathan Winters, I mean, Bob Newhart, some of the greats of American comedy, George Carlin, you name it, Neil Simon, Billy Crystal. This year's winner of the Mark Twain Prize is Kevin Hart. And when I first heard this, and I like Kevin Hart. I've met Kevin Hart when we were doing the morning show with Bob Rivers. Kevin was a touring comedian back in the 2000s and came through the station. Was wonderful, engaging. We had a great time. He was funny as all get out. Saw that show that night. Great comedian. But I don't know. Mark Twain Prize for an American comedy icon? Kevin Hart?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think Kevin Hart is... He's funny.
He's
funnier sort of as an actor frequently than he is actually as a stand-up guy. I wouldn't put him in that category. So for me, part of the big recipe on comedy is surprise. Right. When you do not see it coming. And with Kevin Hart, you see it coming a mile. It's like a plane on slow approach to an airport. Even though he'll land the joke successfully.
Yeah.
I mean, he will 100% of the time. You still just like, I know what's coming. I know what's coming. I was like, oh, that's what's coming. And you're laughing. And sometimes because everyone around you is laughing more than because you find it him particularly inventive or.
Okay, so I guess that's where the clip ends. What do you guys think of Kevin Hart? Mark Twain Prize for Humor, Kevin Hart. What do you think, Lisa?
I've never seen him do stand-up.
Really?
Never. I've only seen him do it in movies, and he's funny in movies.
Yeah.
Stuff that other people have written, so I don't know.
He's got a good podcast, too. He's got a really good podcast.
I'd like to hear that.
Funny guy, yeah. Matt, what do you think? Kevin Hart?
I mean, I think he's funny. I don't know if he's that status funny. I mean, I'm kind of with Mike Lewis. If I can predict what's coming, things aren't as funny to me.
Yeah.
So that's my subjective opinion of his comedy, but he is talented.
I think he is one of the funniest guys out there. I totally understand. I think it's justified. I totally think he gets it. I think last year the Mark Twain Prize went to Adam Sandler. I could be wrong about that, but I think it went to Adam Sandler.
Okay.
This year, Kevin Hart. I mean, those guys are both icons.
Okay.
Super, super funny. I don't think there's anybody who works harder than Kevin Hart, so I appreciate that. I want to just tell you one thing really fast. I'm just to see if this makes you laugh. He did a movie a couple years ago. I still think this is the funniest movie poster I've ever seen, maybe aside from the 40-Year-Old Virgin one. That was a look. The 40-Year-Old Virgin look was the funniest movie poster I've ever seen. This is the funniest movie saying I've ever seen. I'll read it to you. Don't look at it. They did a movie with The Rock called Central Intelligence. Now, their height difference is quite hilarious because Kevin Hart is not a tall guy and The Rock is a giant.
Yeah.
And so it's called Central Intelligence, and the tagline of the movie is, "Saving the world takes a little heart and a big Johnson." Which is funny.
That is funny.
Very funny. Kind of inappropriate, but it's funny. All right. We got a lot more coming up. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You are listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to the show. All right. A couple stories to get to really fast. It's going to be kind of a fun, fast segment. You guys know who John Fetterman is? Of course you do. He's a senator from Pennsylvania. Here's the thing about John Fetterman that I find really fascinating. I have rarely been such a bad judge of a person. I don't think that's fair to myself because he was a very hard character to judge. When he was running for the office of senator for the great state of Pennsylvania, he suffered a stroke. And so he was unavailable to do a lot of press. He had like a really tough time doing interviews. Anytime they would put him in front of a camera, it was painful. We played audio clips of this. it was so uncomfortable to watch because you're watching a guy who is going through a real issue at the time. I mean, like, he had, like, he couldn't form a cogent sentence. He was unable to, he couldn't read things off of screens because it was, like, not making sense in his head. He was having a really tough time. So he's running against Dr. Oz, which I guess is why they figured he should still continue running, because they just knew that Dr. Oz was not going to win. So he's running against Dr. Oz, and he ends up getting elected, and then he does a bunch of stuff right when he gets into office that I found very hard to root for, like that whole wardrobe thing. He's not a guy who likes to wear suits. He's kind of a, bills himself as kind of an everyman, and so he normally wears like Carhartt sweatshirts and basketball shorts and sneakers without socks. He just looks like he's running to the grocery store to get eggs on a Saturday morning when he's in the Senate. He's a very unappealing looking guy when he's dressed like that. So, again, he's a tough guy to root for. And then the Senate, I think the Senate leadership says, hey, you know what? Because we have this guy who doesn't want to dress a certain, like the rest of us are dressing, we're going to change the dress codes. And so senators don't actually have to dress this way. Still the assistants and pages and everybody else has a pretty strict dress code. But senators on the floor don't actually have to dress in any specific way, which they had done for a long time. So all those things kind of added up to you just kind of rolling your eyes every time you saw a John Fetterman story. But then he starts feeling better and he starts his comeback tour. And the thing about John Fetterman is, even though he kind of ran as a very far left, almost fringe candidate, he's much more center of the road, which is where I am. And I like that a lot. And so he's been saying stuff a lot that I find very agreeable. So this was a thing that I found very agreeable. I want to share it with you because I found it fascinating. He had an interview with this guy named John Levine. He's a reporter for the New York Post. They went out and had some lunch, and they were talking about all these different issues. One of the hot-button issues that everybody's talking about right now is squatters. I don't know what it is. It's somewhere in the zeitgeist. People are just talking about squatters left and right. And the conversation was about squatters' rights, which is not an oxymoron. Squatters do have rights in a lot of states, although a lot of people don't think that they should. And Fetterman kind of agrees with the rest of us who have common sense. And he was saying, listen, this is a quote from him. How can you even pretend that this is anything other than just breaking the law? Squatters have no rights, says John Fetterman. He says, it's wild that if you go away on a long trip for 30 days, somebody breaks into your home, suddenly they have rights. This is crazy. And then he used what I think is a really effective analogy to describe why somebody just taking over your home is so crazy and boggles the mind. And I don't understand anybody who supports squatters' rights. There's a difference between a tenant who is renting a place to live from a landlord, and maybe they get into a disagreement because they have a legal contract. And that means that the landlord has to jump through certain hoops if you want to push a bad tenant out, which I think landlords should be able to do. And tenants, on the other hand, should be able to get protected from bad landlords who might try to push them through some hoops that they don't want to go through. Tenants should also have that right. Squatters are neither of those things. And Fetterman accurately points out, listen to this analogy. He says, this is crazy. Like if somebody stole your car and then they held it for 30 days, then somehow they now have some rights, which is totally true. If somebody steals your car and they're caught driving it, they're arrested for stealing your car. The cops don't go, well, did you put gas in this car? Then it's your car. Because one of the things that squatters often claim, and one of the ways that they can establish that they actually live in a residence, is if they can show a receipt. So like in California, if they somehow manage to put their name on things and then pay taxes on that property, even if you're not living at the property and you still own the property, and somehow they call up a bank and say, I want to pay for the tax. I don't know how it all works. I'm not a squatter. But that is one way that they can establish themselves as having ownership over your property that you paid for. Now, if they tried that in a car, and they try to put gas in your car and said, well, I put gas in it, so it's mine now. No, that doesn't work. And so I just think it's like silly season when people say that squatters can own houses. We did a story about this here locally. We talked about that guy. Do you remember that nightmare tenant? That guy who rented his house out. His name was Jason Roth, not the nightmare tenant. The guy who rented his house out is a guy named Jason Roth. And he bought a house back in 2016. He's a mechanic. He decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to try to secure my future. I'm going to work as hard as I can in high school and after high school. I'm going to save up as much money as I can. And then I'm going to buy real estate because that's the quickest way to wealth is to buy real estate or land. So that's what he decided to do. So then he also decided, you know what? I'm going to be doubly impressive here, and I'm going to rent out the house that I own. I'm going to live less than I can, and I'm going to rent out the house that I own, and I'm going to have somebody else be paying my mortgage, which is like a dream scenario if it works. So he rents it out to this guy, and the guy pays him like $1,000 down and then doesn't pay him anything else. And because we have really strict rights here in Washington for tenants and squatters, then it took him a year to get the guy out of his house, even though the guy who wasn't paying him was also renting out Jason's house on Airbnb and was profiting off the house, which is insane. And even knowing all that, Airbnb finally shut down the account when they became aware of this, when Jason could prove that he was renting out a house that he didn't own, the squatter, or the tenant, I guess you should call him. It took him a year to get the guy out. Finally, the sheriff's office went in and removed the guy. After a year. That's a long time to have to pay rent and mortgage and insurance and all the other things you would have to pay on the house. I know you don't pay rent and mortgage on a house. I get that. That was a misspeak. But Jason was out of pocket for a ton of money. So that's really tough. In Florida, they've tried to correct this problem by making it pretty simple. This is Governor Ron DeSantis. This is a couple weeks ago, and he details a new law in Florida that I think everybody should take a second look at.
Spoke to the Broward County property appraiser. He says this home here in Dania Beach is actually an example of a pretty recent squatting case that they resolved. Two people were actually living inside here illegally. They even tried to sell the house. Well, the homeowner, the county, and law enforcement had to go through a whole tedious process to finally get them out. Well, this new law is supposed to make this process significantly less complicated.
You are not going to be able to commandeer somebody's private property and expect to get away with it.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in Orlando today signing a House bill with bipartisan support aimed to address squatters' rights in Florida,
which will give the homeowner the ability to quickly and legally remove a squatter from a property.
Squatters are people who illegally take up a vacant home, building, or land. Oftentimes, they'll present a fake lease or claims of ownership.
Yeah, so I just think it should be a lot easier. I also think, you know, when a guy like John Fetterman, you might disagree with his politics, but I like people who are middle of the road. I like common sense people. And when he says something like, listen, squatters have no rights. The homeowners who have invested in the property, who are taking care of it, who have worked hard to get that down payment so they could buy it, so they could better their lives. Why are they having to pay the price when somebody moves in and does something which is illegal? Absolutely should be illegal. And if they have rights, I don't like it. All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show. It's going to be a great rest of the show. So you don't want to miss it, I promise you. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to the show. All right, in case you guys didn't know or didn't look up at the sky today, there was an eclipse, like a big-time eclipse, total eclipse. People got really, really excited about it. MSNBC sent a reporter out to do it, to talk about it. I don't know if she has ever reported from the field. I assume she has because she works for MSNBC, and they sent her out to do this job. But she forgot to hold her mic up. She got she just got really excited. I guess people just get flustered when something amazing is happening. And she was just staring up at the sun, unshielded for a little bit. Had to be reminded to shield her eyes. Just a good reminder. If anybody is going to watch an eclipse anytime soon, I don't know when the next one is, but you need like really, really dark shades of some kind, like specially made, not even regular sunglasses do the job. They sell eclipse-specific eye protection so that you can watch the eclipse. But this reporter did not have them, just staring up into the sky.
Dark! You're in cheers. I think it's happening. I think it's happening.
Priscilla, put your glasses on. Put your glasses on, experiencing it.
You can hear they're kind of worried about her.
Thank you. Thank you, Katie. Good looking out. Yes, can confirm there is only a slither.
This is funny. Like, it does remind me. I'll play the rest of this clip in a second, but it does remind me. As a parent, you just have to do stuff you never thought you'd have to do. Like, sometimes you just have to tell your kids, like, quit staring at the sun. They will just stare up at it. I don't know why they do this. Why their instinct is to do this. They'll just like try to find it and look at it. I guess I remember doing that as a kid, but it's very, very dangerous and it's bad for your retinas.
Left a tiny, tiny ring.
Keep looking.
Oh, it is so cool. Okay, I'm keeping looking. There it is. It's happening. Yeah.
You can see the outer ring.
I mean, it is kind of cool. It did get really dark. I saw some video where people could actually see it when they were right in the path. That's, they call it a path of totality. Is that what they call it? But you can fully see it. And it does. Like, there's just a moment where it gets really, really dark. And it's the middle of day. And it's really cool.
Oh, my God. That is so cool. Katie, where would I be without you, like, narrating this for me? This is awesome.
What are you feeling? What's the temperature like?
I doubt the temperature changed too much. She wasn't the only one talking about the eclipse. The View was also talking about the eclipse. And Sunny Hostin, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but one of the View co-hosts was describing, there's just like a weird confluence of events that's happening right now. You have the cicadas, which we're going to talk a little bit more about in a few minutes. Some sexually transmitted cicadas with like a sexually transmitted fungus are about to emerge, and it's going to be a big deal. So we'll tell you all about that next segment. So stick around for that, the top of the 9 p.m. hour. But so that's happening right now, and you have some earthquakes recently, and you have the eclipse. And so Sunny was saying, guys, I think we need to consider maybe climate change.
We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake. She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Although I love for the first time.
So funny. She just gets so much wrong in this very short statement.
Cicada.
Two different times are coming.
The good cicadas.
But for the first time in many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe, you know better.
All those things together
would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists
or something is returning. Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground. It happens, and the eclipse, they've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen, and they actually can say when these things are going to happen.
They know when the eclipse is going to happen. And again, the eclipse is way out in space. It's not affected by carbon in our atmosphere at all. So they don't need to worry about that. It's not climate change. And I don't think earthquakes have much to do with climate change either. In fact, I know they don't. Speaking of cicadas, I have a bizarre story to tell you about. It's next segment. If you've ever wondered about sexually transmitted diseases in cicadas, then boy, do I have a great story for you. And it's coming up next here on Cairo Radio.